options, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who suffer the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. And always the message is, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. If you're listening to our Thursday live internet show, please feel free to join Heidi and me and our guests on the show by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the CompassionateFriend.org website. They're also found on our foundation and brought to you by the foundation, the Open to Hope Foundation. All shows can be downloaded on iTunes and transcripts can be accessed on thegriefblog.com. Well, Heidi, good morning. We've got a great guest today.
Good morning, Mom. Yes, I'm looking forward to the show.
Beverly Hurley, who's president of the National Board of Directors, or outgoing, I should say, Bereaved Parents USA, is going to be on our show. We're excited to have her on. Well, Heidi, before we talk to Beverly, just great things are happening on thegriefblog.com. We've kind of redone the site, and it's really wonderful.
Yeah, it definitely got a facelift. It barely looks like the same site. It looks great.
Yeah. And I wanted to tell you, if you go to our blog, thegriefblog.com, you can sign up for what we call email digest. And what you'll get if you sign up for that is you'll get just a couple of lines, so it won't overcome you, of articles that you can link to that we put up. And also, you can translate it into different languages by hitting on the flag of that language. I'm excited about that, Heidi.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah,
and I also like the archives. I think I said this last time, but you can go into the archive shows and look at the whole bio of each person that's been on our show and, you know, listen to some shows that maybe you haven't heard in the past.
So you can read a little bit more about them, and so you'll know what you're, you know, spending your time listening to before you tune in.
Exactly.
And also, you can now subscribe to our RSS feed so that you'll be able to, if you belong to Yahoo or whatever, you'll be able to put it as one of your favorite spots. And also, don't forget, we've got the podcast. You hit the upper right-hand corner. And if you want your picture, if you want to send your picture to us for the Grief Blog or any other pictures, if you'll go to www.gravatar.com, you can get free links, and it only takes about 2 minutes. So I love that idea that we could see some of the people that are sending comments to us. We can actually see their picture. Or if you've got a picture of your child you want to put up, you'll be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The Internet is a pretty amazing, amazing thing.
It is.
Well, Heidi and I just got back. We both presented at the Compassionate Friends National Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, and I am excited to tell you all that we have some dynamite guests coming up, don't we, Heidi?
We absolutely do. We really do.
We met some great people at the conference. Dr. Frank Lewis, he's a Bruce sibling, very dynamic. Bruce Marakami, I think is how he says his name. Bruce is a Hawaiian, and his wife and child were killed in an accident, and now he goes around with a young man and does safe teen driving things.
Well, and the man that he goes around with, the kid that he goes around with, is the kid that killed his wife and daughter.
Right. Just an amazing story. And then, of course, Daryl Scott was one of our speakers. And if you'll go to our archives, you can find Daryl. He's the one who does Rachel's Challenge, and his daughter Rachel was killed at Columbine. And his son Craig has been on our show. And he was very dynamic, very impressive, wonderful man. And then Ann Hood was on, and we've had Ann on the show. She is a great, great person. And then we're also going to have Beth Nilsson Chapman on, who is a wonderful Grammy Award singer. So we've lined those people up for the show, and I'm excited about it.
And I think maybe we'll have Anne on again, because she's written a new book, a memoir, called Comfort, A Journey Through Grief.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She'd be a good one to have on again as well.
And I want to know that we've got our widow and widower blog are going to come online. We're going to have a teen blog. We've got an AIDS blog. We've got a faith blog. I mean, we've got about 10 blogs that we're getting ready with wonderful blog people that are going to blog for us through the Open to Hope Foundation. And also make sure you go to the Open to Hope Foundation, because we have a whole group of wonderful writers who are writing original material for us on loss. And hope is our main thrust, right, Heidi?
Absolutely, yes.
So, Heidi, do you want to introduce our guest today?
Sure, I'd love to. As you said previously, our guest today is Beverly Hurley, and our topic is Bereaved Parents USA. Beverly Hurley is the outgoing president of the National Board of Directors of Bereaved Parents USA. On June 1st, 1990, Beverly's 22-year-old daughter, Debbie, died after a short and painful 3-month battle with cancer. In 2000, Beverly became the Tampa Bay chapter leader of Bereaved Parents USA, and in 2006, the organization's national president. Beverly's life has become one of service and a belief in the healing aspects of continuing to work on grief and not let our children be forgotten. Welcome to the show, Beverly.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and thank you for inviting me.
It's just great to have you on the show. I wanted to have you talk a little bit, I want you to talk a lot about Bereaved Parents USA, but I'd also like to have you tell our audience a little bit about your daughter, Debbie.
Well, she was a wonderful child, like all of our children, and it was a very sudden illness and happened very quickly. I had a lot of support at the hospital while she was going through her chemo. And I tell you, I had a hard time accepting that they were trying to tell me that she was not going to survive. You just never want to give up. You talk about how you want to promote hope, and I believe in that with all my heart, to have hope. And I never gave up hope until at the very, very end. And she really thought it was beatable as well and treatable. So
and you would think at a 22-year-old it would be treatable.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable to think of. Yeah. Her being diagnosed and dying within 3 months.
Yes, it was in five different organs. It was just so fast, and no primary site, and very aggressive. It was just amazing, absolutely. And you know, as a bereaved parent, we all ask ourselves why, but we never can really get those answers normally. And you know, we'll find that answer maybe someday. But
now, did Debbie have siblings?
Yes, I have one surviving daughter, Kim, and she is now 34. She was 16 when her sister died, so it was very, very difficult. And she has given me 3 beautiful grandchildren.
Wow.
And so I stay very close to her and very busy. And I know, you know, the death of her sister really has affected her and still does, you know, definitely. It's something you just have to live with, and every day and every, you know, new thing that happens in your life, it's one of those firsts. And we just keep.
And I know Heidi will want to touch back on that as a bereaved sibling during the show.
Definitely.
Absolutely. I mean, we revisit our losses throughout a lifetime.
Yes,
and
we do.
I'm sure every time she had a child for the whole family, it was bittersweet. It was wonderful. But then you wish that Debbie had been here
to see
her nieces and nephews.
Yeah, matter of fact, when my the first one was being born, on the way to the hospital, I went by the cemetery, you know, to visit Debbie's grave, because I just somehow, you know, you want to bring them apart, you know, bring them into it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then the second little girl was able to have Deborah as her middle name, so that was
that
too.
So that continues the bond.
Yes, it does. And they all know Aunt Debbie, that's for sure. So,
well, tell me now, did you feel like you got a lot of support after she died? Tell me how about that.
Well, yes, I did. You know, I think it was 2 weeks afterwards. Well, actually, the 2 days after my daughter died, my friend came who had a 4-year-old son die a couple years previously, and she came to tell me that there was this group, support group for parents, and when I was ready to go, she would go with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, you know, I wasn't really ready to hear about that. And but within 2 weeks after that, I needed to. I was going crazy. I thought, I can't do this alone. And especially because I had so much support helping me, you know, before cope with her illness, all of a sudden I felt like I was just dropped. You know,
now, did the hospital follow through a lot on it, or?
Afterwards, no. I was out of town, actually, and they really didn't have the grief support. They had the cancer support, you know, but not the grief support afterwards. I had a contact person that was kind of my buddy up there, and we kept in contact, but, you know, for the distance, it wasn't enough, you know. So I did go to my first bereaved parents meeting, you know, support meeting for bereaved parents.
And that, now what group was that?
That was the Compassionate Friends at the time. They were here in Tampa.
Well, what a smart friend you had.
I
love that, because for her to come and to you and say, when you're ready, not say, you know, there's a meeting.
Yeah, you have to go to this.
Really got to go to this meeting.
Yeah.
But to come to you in such a quiet way and a very...
Yeah. And she brought a box of Kleenex when she came to visit. So I always say that was the best thing, that she gave me permission to cry, and I thought that was excellent.
Now, one thing that I think is really interesting about it also is that, you know, my son was killed in an automobile accident, Heidi's brother, in an automobile accident, and immediately, you know, he was dead on arrival.
Mm.
And thank you, and his cousin also. But the point I wanted to make about it was we got no support after.
Wow.
He died, you know, he died in another city, but it wouldn't have mattered anyway. At the time, you got no support. But it's interesting because we always assume that people whose kids have cancer or whatever did get support because, you know, the hospital followed through, da-da-da.
Right.
But you just made a good point. A lot of people aren't in the same town to get treatment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that's a very interesting point. Well, I'd like to talk more about your journey when we come back from break. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. When we come back to break, from break, we're going to talk more with Beverly Hurley, the outgoing president of Bereaved Parents USA. And we're also, hopefully during the next segment, going to have her husband, David Hurley, on the show. You can join us if you'd like to discuss the issues we've been talking about, or if you have comments that you'd like to make. Our number is 1-866-472-5792. That's toll-free. Remember, you can always email us about this show or upcoming shows or shows that you would like to have on. And please visit us at thegriefblog.com as well as the Open to Hope Foundation. Please stay tuned for more.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Who are we? What really matters? Is it possible to find true happiness after a great loss? The answers to some of life's most important questions are explored in Space Between Breaths, a powerful, uplifting film which looks at the potential in grief and to the ways it can become a motivational, transformational force in our lives. Featuring conversations with parents who have lost a child, including those whose loved ones died at Columbine on September 11th, and a mother whose son was one of the first U.S. soldiers to die in Iraq. Space Between Breaths offers an inspired and healing perspective on loss, which will transform the way you live and love. For information on ordering the film, visit the website www.spacebetweenbreaths.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and for those of you who are just joining us, we are speaking today with Beverly Hurley about Bereaved Parents USA. Welcome back to the show, Beverly and Gloria.
Thank you. Well, thanks, Heidi. When we went to break, we were talking a bit about Beverly's wonderful 22-year-old daughter, Debbie, who was killed in, died of cancer in 1990. And we were talking a little bit about the fact that we just assume that we people whose kids were killed or died immediately, we assume that people who've had children die of cancer have had all these wonderful services going out with people coming to the house and taking care of them. That's my fantasy world there, really.
Well, but, I think, and often services end as soon as somebody dies.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think they do. And there's nothing for siblings, right?
Oh, that's so true. Mm-hmm. And I think a sibling, when they're teenagers, they really don't want to be around adults. They'd rather be with their own friends, and that was the case with my daughter. She mm-hmm. says, I talk to my friends, but, you know, you don't know if they're getting the right direction or support that they need. And
that's such a good point, that your daughter was reassuring you. Your daughter, Kim, was reassuring you that she was talking, mm-hmm. but it just wasn't to you. It was to her friends, because,
yes.
as you know, parents' biggest fear is that kids aren't talking about it and that they're not okay. They just want to know if their teens are still okay after a loss.
Oh, definitely. I mean, mm-hmm. and everybody warned me, of course, about being overprotective with her, and mm-hmm. she was afraid of that. I mean, there's just so many things that go on, and it's very difficult to come to an understanding between the two of you. And you know, the stress is we all grieve differently. Even though it's the same person, it's such a different relationship that we've
mm-hmm.
lost.
Absolutely. So then your friend took you after how long before
two
you...
Weeks.
Two weeks you went to Compassionate Friends. Tell us how you felt at your first group meeting.
Well, like we usually tell our people in our meetings, don't be offended by laughter in this room before the meeting starts, because some people are further down the road in their grief, and we've built a bond. And I felt very uncomfortable because there was laughter. And I thought, these people can't be bereaved parents, you know. And but the meeting went well. I was too emotional to speak. My friend spoke for me and introduced me and my daughter. And but I hung on to every word that everyone said. They gave me such hope, and I wanted to laugh again. I wanted to be like them. And I couldn't wait for the next meeting. When it was over, I was like, this is what I need. I need these people. I need these meetings. And it was a lifesaver.
So yeah, I love what you said about the laughter. I haven't heard that before. That makes so much sense, that you had to be people reassured you that don't be offended by the fact that people will be laughing at the beginning.
Yeah, we repeat that so often in our meetings, every meeting, and also at our candlelight, because there are new people there, and they need to understand that, mm-hmm. that they will also laugh again, and, you know, and it doesn't mean you forget your child or that, you know, you're totally, you know, over your healed by then. It's just, you know, moments that you get to enjoy again.
Now, you know, you've been involved in this in 18 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've been involved for 25 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, but people say, you know, what's your problem? You're still involved.
It really gets to be a service. Are you stuck in your grief?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Right. Well, this is one thing when I go to our meetings and we do our introduction, and I tell them that I'm here to give back, you know, and mm-hmm. to keep this organization going so we can help the newly bereaved, just like it was there for me when I first came. And I explained that to them. And then I asked that I hope that someday you will want to give back and be a part of our organization and the administrative part of it as well. And, we have people that are 25 and 30 years in our group, mm-hmm. and they're wonderful mentors.
Yeah. I love that idea, the mentor. You know, I'm involved in this new positive psychology movement that's going on right now, and one of the things that they have shown through research is that the happiest people who go through trauma are the ones that eventually start giving back.
Oh, wonderful.
So
that's good to know.
I thought that fit right into
it. I like that. And I also said at the conference that we just went to last week, when people said, wow, you've been bereaved 25 years and you're here, and I said, yes, and one of the reasons I'm here is because I want to hold the hope for you, for everyone here.
Mm-hmm.
The hope that someday you will not be in the kind of pain you're in right now.
That's
so
wonderful.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about BP Kids USA. How many chapters have you got? And I know you had the gathering. And
yes.
We were just talking about Mitch Carmody, how hot he and yeah. I saw him at the National Conference of Compassionate Friends, and how he's at your conference. Wonderful guy.
Yes, he is. He's everybody loves him. Absolutely loves
they
him.
Do.
His workshops are always just packed full.
And there's a lot of cross-pollination between Compassionate Friends and Bereaved Parents USA. I know
Definitely.
People move back and forth. It's great.
Definitely. We are so much smaller and will always be. We are all volunteers. We have
so
no
you don't have an executive director at all?
No.
So you kind of really run the show for 2 years, right?
Yeah, and it's very time consuming. I mean, doing it more than 2 years is real, as much as I would love it and as much as, you know, I loved being president, I do have family commitments. and you know, it does take a lot. So I really felt most presidents are 1 year, 2 years, maybe a third year for a couple people. But I really felt it was time for my leadership transition. And I still believe I did the right thing so far. We're still kind of doing our conversion, you know, with Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
And now Shirley has been a president before, so she's just kind of trying to update herself with what's happened in the last several years since she was not on the board. Mm-hmm. And but we do have 60 chapters right now, and we have 20 satellites, which means, like here in Tampa, we are the Tampa Bay chapter, but we also have two other areas where we meet out in Plant City, which is kind of a distance for some people. It's still in Hillsborough County. And we also have a daytime group. So those are called like a satellite chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So we have more than one meeting in Tampa a month. And so altogether we're having 80 meetings, you know, monthly throughout the U.S. And we have a chapter development person, so we're always looking to have more. And I think our big drive right now is leadership training. We realize we need to do a little bit more of that for our people, and I think we're in a little better position now to do it because we are a relatively new organization. We started in 95, so it's still, you know, a lot of things we're trying to get organized and do a little bit better every time, as everybody does.
So people can go to your website.
Yes, definitely. BereavedParentsUSA.org.
And
beautiful website.
It is lovely.
And we have information about the 2009 gathering out there already.
Which is going to be in Elmhurst, Queens. Heidi, does that sound familiar?
It does.
Heidi was, we lived in Elmhurst, Queens until Heidi was three.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. We're very excited about this.
Right by New York City.
Yeah.
By LaGuardia Airport, so it'll be easier for you to get into.
Easily to get in.
How large are your gatherings?
We have had up to 450. Would probably be our largest. Our attendance was down a little bit this year. We went back to St. Louis for the third time, and I don't know if that kind of hindered people wanting to, you know, repeat the trip, or whether it was economy, you know,
mm-hmm.
gas prices. Right. I'm sure TCF had the same experience. Maybe not.
They had quite a group. They had 1,500.
They always have a huge group. But whether it was less, I mean, Nashville's beautiful anyway. I mean, that's wonderful. So, you know, there's always things that you know, present challenges to us. And
now, do you know who the speakers, the keynotes will be for 2009 yet?
No, we don't. We're still working on that.
And
Diana,
who are the 2008 keynotes?
Let me. Oh goodness! You're asking me a question that's going
to
screw.
We want to know.
Well, of course, we have Mitch. We had Alan Peterson.
Love Alan. He's
yes.
Show. He's
a wonderful singer.
Person.
Yes, we had Stephanie. I think it's Frog.
Mm-hmm.
From TAPS. She was wonderful. We had Joy Johnson.
Oh, I love
yes,
Joy.
Yes, you loved Joy.
Yeah.
Centering Corp.
Yes. Centering Corp did our bookstore this year, so it was wonderful, and she did a great job.
Well, listen, I'm wondering if your husband David is online. David, are you there? Nope, we don't have him yet.
I'm here.
Oh, you are there. Hi,
yeah.
David.
Hi, David.
Hello.
David.
David Hurley is on the line, Beverly's husband, and this is very exciting to have you on. We love having couples on. And David, I'm going to ask you a few questions. We're going to go to break in a few minutes. When we come back, if you could stay on, that would be great. But before we go to break, we were talking to Beverly about Bereaved Parents USA, and we were also talking about your wonderful daughter, Debbie. And I wondered, you didn't go with her to the first meeting.
No.
Tell me about that. She went off to a meeting, but you didn't go, right? But now you are involved.
I'm involved quite a bit. I've been the national treasurer. I'm in my sixth year as national treasurer.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And his last year.
And my last year.
And so you're very involved in Compassionate Friends. How long did it take you? Heidi and I are very interested about this because we're interested in how men grieve versus women.
And also, how do you get a man involved in the organization? Because a lot of times it seems like men are hesitant to go.
I think for someone to be involved, you have to have involved people.
Mm-hmm.
And each individual is going to have a different thing that pulls them in. And one of the hard things for men, we're all fixers. You know, if that's broken, give me a hammer and a screwdriver, I can fix that sucker and it'll be good. It's over with.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something we can't fix, so rather than admit we can't fix it, we'll avoid it. And that's hard to get past that. It's hard for men to do that. Beverly and I had times where didn't know, I thought maybe I'd done something wrong because she was in a mood or something. And we finally came to the conclusion that I had to ask, did I do something wrong? Did I say something wrong or not do something, not say something? And it was my responsibility to ask. It was her responsibility to be honest when she answered. Hey, I just need some time right now because things are going on in her.
I like that a lot, David. I like the idea that you kind of set up a contract with Shirley about it's my job to ask and it's Shirley's job to answer.
Beverly.
I mean,
Beverly.
Why have I got Shirley up there?
Because she'll be on later.
Okay.
I usually don't ask Shirley.
I've got it written up there because I wanted to mention her. Well, I think that's very interesting. I want to talk more about these points of men and women when we come back from break. And the reason I was thinking, Shirley, in my mind is when we come back from break, it may not be the next segment, maybe the one after, we're going to talk to Shirley Ottman, who is the incoming president of Bereaved Parents USA. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. You're listening to Healing the Grieving Heart. Remember, you can reach us through thegriefblog.com and also through the Open to Hope Foundation. Please stay tuned to hear more about Bereaved Parents USA with our guest, Beverly Hurley, and her husband, David.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Who are we? What really matters? Is it possible to find true happiness after a great loss? The answers to some of life's most important questions are explored in Space Between Breaths, a powerful, uplifting film which looks at the potential in grief and to the ways it can become a motivational, transformational force in our lives. Featuring conversations with parents who have lost a child, including those whose loved ones died at Columbine on September 11th, and a mother whose son was one of the first U.S. soldiers to die in Iraq. Space Between Breaths offers an inspired and healing perspective on loss, which will transform the way you live and love. For information on ordering the film, visit the website www.spacebetweenbreaths.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria. And for those of you just joining us, we are speaking today with Beverly and David Hurley about Bereaved Parents USA. Welcome to the show, Beverly, David, and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Hi, David.
Hello.
Back there, good. Listen, I really threw a loop to you. I realize after break that you are a step-parent and probably almost feel like you know Debbie, but did not know her, right?
That's correct.
You know, I love that you're a step-parent and so supportive. It's absolutely fantastic. I know we have a lot of audience out there who are in the same kind of situation being a step-parent. I wondered, do you have any advice or thoughts about how you deal with that, being a step-parent? How long had Debbie been gone before you married Shirley?
Beverly.
What am I doing, Shirley?
Beverly, yes.
Before you married Beverly, how long had it been?
We were married in 95, and Debbie died in 90.
Uh-huh. So, did you know her? Did you ever meet her?
I did not.
Uh-huh. Of course, you know her now.
I see her pictures,
hear her stories.
Actually, to try to find out who she was, I watched all the videos that I could of her, and the 8mm tapes from when she was little, and looked through the pictures, talked to her aunts and uncles. It was very tough for Beverly to do, but I wanted to get a sense of who she was and what their relationship was, and that was also part of getting to know my wife at that point. And I think that's for me to be accepted into that, I needed to know that. And then since that time, I've lost two brothers.
Oh, sorry about that.
So we've had, so now I'm, I guess, a legitimate member. I don't know if that's, that's a group no one wants to pay the membership dues on.
Exactly.
The other thing is, it's wonderful to know that there are these organizations out there for us.
Mm-hmm.
If we, when we do have further bereavement, there's someplace to go. It's always there. I mean, I was thinking about it the other day because I'm the youngest and I have three siblings, and I thought, gee, there's a place where I can go if I need to. Again, I go there to support after 25 years with Scott, but for really my own raw grief, it's there.
Well, I was surprised. I've done workshops for step-parents at some of the gatherings, and I've been amazed that some of the people come up later and said, gee, I'm really glad you said that. So, really? But I think part of it is looking inward to try to find out what you can do to serve someone else. I look at it as a service to my wife to try to help her. And
David, for all of the step-parents out there that are listening, what advice would you give them about how they can help their spouse through the loss of their child?
Well, they need to be attentive. And I think part of... there might be times if you don't get the attention you might like, especially early on, because there's a distraction or something that's going to keep distracting them. And no matter how long it goes, there will be a moment, there will be a song, there will be a scent, there will be something that reminds them, and for a moment or for a period of time, that's going to distract them to that. That's just part of it. And we all have distractions, but this is something that's going to be there forever, and that's something we can help with. One of the things that I did for Beverly a long time ago, she was working in, it was on the anniversary of Debbie's death, and she was going to have to work late. So I went by a store, picked up some flowers, and took it out to the grave. And then later that day, she was really starting to get emotional. I'm not going to be able to get out there today. And I said, well, it's all right. I took care of it.
That's nice.
So I tell people, there's not a lot of big things you can do, but you pay attention for the little things.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Do you see other step parents, women and men, going to the gatherings or going to bereaved parents?
There's quite a few of them there. Had a few in the, they weren't all step parents that came to the workshop in St. Louis this year. There was one mother that wanted to know how to get to her husband, who was a stepfather, so it was a little, she was looking for insight. But
what did you suggest to her?
Well, I think it's open communication. It has to be. And that's one of the problems. If we're on two different wavelengths, it's hard to communicate. This is a painful thing for the parent. This lady was several years into her grief, 5 or 6 years, as I recall. And the stepfather was just seemed to have less interest than she thought he should, and that's something she needed to be open with, and something he needed to be open to. So it's hard. Every couple, every relationship is going to have its own dynamics,
mm-hmm.
and
well, yeah.
when you throw this into the middle of it, it's going to really create issues. It's something you need to be aware of going in.
And be aware of it. And then I love the idea if a step parent's looking for some way to really get more involved or whatever. I love the idea, don't you, Heidi, of looking at the movies, talking to family. And as you said, David, it can be hard for sounds like it was hard for Beverly to have you talking to her siblings and things or whatever, whoever you talked to find out.
She didn't mind me talking to them. But she didn't want to watch the movie. She wouldn't watch the videos.
I can understand that. That's difficult for me, but I love the fact that you were willing to do it. Heidi, you want to ask David anything about the sibling, how Kim's doing, how he deals with it with her?
Oh, about his own siblings?
About Kim, you know, who's...
Debbie's sister.
Debbie's sister.
You mean, why don't you ask Mom? You mean how she's doing?
Yeah, how their relationship is. How does the step-parent work with the sibling?
Surviving, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the surviving sibling. Have you been sensitive to that, David? I assume you have.
Yes, matter of fact, I personally think Kim and I have about as good a relationship as we could have. Mm-hmm. Of course, she had just lost a sister when I met her.
And so
there was difficulties, and I think there's still difficulties. And sometimes I recognize them before Beverly does because I think I'm a little more remote as far as being able to be an observer.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never introduce Kim as a stepdaughter. I introduce her as a daughter. That's the way I love her.
Wow, that's nice.
In fact, one of the things I wrote at the insistence of one of the guys at BP, because I've always said I don't have any steps in my heart.
I love that.
So I
don't have any steps in my heart.
So
that's wonderful.
I wrote an article for that about that, and so we do have a good relationship.
You should shoot us off that article, and we'll put it on our website.
Mm-hmm. But I remember right after we were married, Beverly and I went out for New Year's Eve, and we got back and had a message from Kim, and she'd been out for New Year's Eve, and said, "Gee, wish we could have gotten together, and you guys had plans, we had plans," and so then it's. Stopped and she said, "Well, thanks, Mom." And then there was a big pause. And then she said, "Dad." And then she said, "Well, I gotta go now. I'm getting emotional." I said, "Well, it's too late for me." You already did it. So,
I think this is kind of interesting to me because I was thinking one of the things that we do like to bring into our lives after we've had a profound loss is kind of new things. And here she's got stepdad or dad, whatever you want to call it, coming in,
mm-hmm.
who's connecting with her. What a really lovely thing. Well, I think that we've got Shirley Ottman on. Is that right, Shirley? No,
yes,
not
here.
Yet.
Mm-hmm.
Shirley?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, you are there. Welcome to the show, Shirley.
Thank you.
So that's wonderful. Shirley Ottman is the incoming president of Brief Parents USA. So, Beverly, you're the outgoing. What advice have you given Shirley?
I've just been trying to be there with her and bring her up to date on things.
Yeah.
She's very experienced. She's a great lady, and she's doing a wonderful job.
Now, Shirley, can you tell us a little bit about your loss?
Mm-hmm. Yes, my daughter died in 1986 in a highway accident when a flatbed trailer became unhitched from the cab and crossed lanes of traffic and the median and struck her in the driver's compartment. She was dead at the scene.
What was her name?
Her name was Therese, but we called her Terry and sometimes Tess, depending on...
And how old was Tess?
She was 25.
Yeah. Well,
she was
sorry
married.
To hear about
uh-huh.
that.
Thank you.
So you've been doing quite the work for In Memory of Tess, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Going out as president and coming back in again.
Well, it was kind of a fluke. In the beginning of Bereaved Parents, we elected our board members for 1 year. And I served 2 years and said, you know, it's up to other people. And then a couple of years later, through another fluke, I allowed my name to be in nomination and then served a 3-year term. So I had a total of 5 and the board members are limited to 6. This year, unfortunately, one of our board members contracted cancer and had to resign with 1 year left to serve. So the board was casting about for somebody to fill in for 1 year.
Uh-huh.
And there I was with 5 years. I could serve another. And somehow or other, that's what happened.
So that's an amazing service that you're giving.
But I'm happy to help out.
Now, when did you first get into, did you start out with the Compassionate Friends
yes,
or some
I
other
did.
Group? Or?
My husband's sister is a clinical psychologist, and, of course, they came when they heard the news about my daughter. And she recommended Compassionate Friends, but to tell the truth, I was one of these people not able to pull myself together quickly. And it was, she died in May, and it was September before I drove into Dallas with my husband to attend a meeting. Mm-hmm. And I only went, I think, like most of us do, out of desperation. We know we need help and tried to seek it. And it was there that I found hope that other people who in similar circumstances somehow went on living. So I, on the way home, and that was the unfortunate thing, we had to pass over the place where she had died on the highway. It's the only way into Dallas from my city. And I said to my husband, we've got to get a chapter here in Denton because I can't drive over this spot every month. And I didn't for a long time. I founded the chapter in Denton and in 1987. And it's been a very gratifying experience for me to bring some meaning from my daughter's death.
Now, tell me, Shirley, how was your husband with it? Was he equally as supported by it and wanting to do this, or did he do it for you? Or because we were talking to David a little bit about how it can be really difficult for men because they're fixers and doers. And
that's right.
You know.
My husband was an extraordinarily sensitive man. He also was my daughter's stepfather, but she had lived in our home for 10 years. So he was actually her father.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me all the space and time I needed. He made no demands, but was there to listen if I had to talk or to just hold me when I couldn't speak. He was just wonderful,
and he was
supported.
Did he continue with to go to Compassionate Friends as often as you did? Or?
Yes, he went with me every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, he did not go to the first conference I attended. He had business that he had. He just was unable to go, so I went by myself in to Columbus, Ohio. I think that must have been 1988, and. That was an overwhelming experience, but I went primarily to get the leadership training by that time. And it had been 2 years since my daughter's death, and I wanted to be able to help my chapter members better than I thought I was able to without some leadership training. So that's all the workshops I took that year.
Mm-hmm. Amazing with that 2 years. That's a very rough, difficult time, I think, those first couple of years.
Oh, it is.
So you were doing this. And I think we're all different. For some people, actually doing can be really important, even founding a group or whatever. For some people, that's not so good. They can't do it at that level.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that for our audience now, I think you're hearing some pretty wonderful, remarkable stories of people who have really moved out there and given. My husband and I, it was our son, and it's interesting to hear how supportive the step parents can be, because I think when it's your same child, it can be really rough because you're, I know the step parenting, I think David brought that up too, but it can be rough when you are up and down and, you know, flying all over the place.
That's right.
It's an incredible journey. Well, it's almost time for us to go to break, and what I would like to do is I'd like to ask everybody to stay on, David and Shirley and Beverly, and I would like you, during our break, to think a little bit about some advice. If you could give some advice to the folks out there, what would it be? And also, if you have any special rituals that you found to be really helpful, because I know our audience really can find those helpful. So I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. You're listening to Healing the Grieving Heart. We want to remind you that this is brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation, and we hope that you will visit the foundation site as well as the Grief Blog. Remember, all of these shows are archived on our website, and they can also be downloaded on MP3 files. Please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Who are we? What really matters? Is it possible to find true happiness after a great loss? The answers to some of life's most important questions are explored in Space Between Breaths, a powerful, uplifting film which looks at the potential in grief and to the ways it can become a motivational, transformational force in our lives. Featuring conversations with parents who have lost a child, including those whose loved ones died at Columbine on September 11th, and a mother whose son was one of the first U.S. soldiers to die in Iraq. Space Between Breaths offers an inspired and healing perspective on loss, which will transform the way you live and love. For information on ordering the film, visit the website www.spacebetweenbreaths.com.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria. And for those of you just joining us today, we are speaking with Beverly and David Hurley and Shirley Ottman about Bereaved Parents USA. Welcome back to the show, Shirley, Beverly, David, and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. We've got a wonderful fountain of wisdom with all these folks on the show today. Mm-hmm. This is our last segment, so I just wanted to remind you all before we finish the show that you can go to the Bereaved Parents USA website. Just right under that, they've got wonderful information about chapters, how you can get in touch with them, and all sorts of good information. And also, I wanted to tell you about the gathering of their organization. It's going to be in Elmhurst, Queens at the Crown Plaza LaGuardia. It's going to be, I think, did you tell me, Beverly, 10th through the 12th of July?
Correct, 2009.
Of July. Mm-hmm. And so that might be something, if you're around in that area, that you might want to think about attending. Well, when we went to break, I was asking if people could think about advice that they might have for those bereaved folks out there. And let's try to think of it in terms of fairly newly bereaved, because I know we've got some real newly bereaved people that could benefit from some thoughts. So I thought we'd start with the guy, David.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I see with the experience I've seen around a lot of people is they try to go too fast right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And they become human doings instead of human beings, and they try to mask their pain by doing things to keep them from thinking of it. And although I think a part of that's probably good, to the extent that some people I see doing it, they just completely shut down their emotional part and then see it come out later when they have a real problem.
Uh-huh. And you said they become human what?
Human doings.
Oh, doings.
Yeah, they get all involved in projects and things, and I've seen it in more than one person where they just get so frantic, and I understand why they do that. That's not a criticism. It's just that something that they need to try to avoid and try to address the grief, because I've seen people that try to go around it or jump over it, but sooner or later they have to go through it, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, thank you. That's a wonderful piece of advice and thought. Mm-hmm. And how about you, Beverly? What advice would you have out there?
Well, yeah, I agree. I think his advice was totally on target. I also think you have to educate yourself about grief, so when things do happen, you have a little better understanding of maybe why you have the anger or you have the depression or you can't sleep. All these things, I think, you know, there are clinical answers to some of these, and I think you need to know that. One, I think the big fault that bereaved parents find out is, I can't remember anything. But I keep telling them there is a clinical reason. You know, if your right side of your brain is overwhelmed, your left side, your cognitive, is not working well, but, you know, it will get better. But I also think that lowering expectations of oneself is important, too. You're not going to be the same person. You are going to be different. Taking baby steps and a day at a time is the best thing that you can do, and definitely find support.
That's great. Looking for support is a wonderful thing. If you like groups, Compassionate Friends, Bereaved Parents USA, there are groups in the hospitals, there are other groups you can find. There are many, many groups out there now.
Yes, we have several here in Tampa that we, you know, channel people to if they need more. Because after I went to my first meeting, I knew waiting a whole month to get back with those people wasn't enough. I had to be with somebody else again, and I started going to another group as well, which met like twice a month, I believe. So I was getting my so-called support fix, you know, to get me through. But then I was able to drop away from the other one, you know, support group, and stay with this support group.
Now, one thing about these groups is that they go on.
Yes.
You can come after years, and they're always out there for you if you
want
to come back, which is quite amazing.
Yes.
How about Shirley? Do you have thoughts about this?
Well, I find, at least in my experience, that the death of my daughter was such a life-altering experience that support groups really provided me with a safe haven where it didn't matter if I cried or laughed. I listened to other stories. I could tell my own, or I could be silent. Everything was accepted, and that was such a healing balm for me, and I think it might be for others, too. And then at our support group, we have loving listeners who are available to bereaved parents who need to talk to somebody between meetings. And that's always
How would
helpful.
You find that? Is it on your Internet site? Or?
Well, I think each chapter has loving listeners that are listed in their newsletter that goes out to their members.
Oh, great. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And about time to close the show. Do people have one quick ritual they like? Shirley, do you have any quick ritual that you do that you like?
Personal or with the group?
Either way.
Well, with our group, we have a candle lighting ceremony that corresponds with yours in the lights around the world at the second Sunday of every December.
Oh, that's great. That's a wonderful ritual to mention. I'm glad you did.
Mm-hmm.
How about David? You took flowers to the grave. I love that. And how about you, Beverly? Do you have one?
Personally, no. You do it pretty privately, lighting a candle, you know, at Christmas time, putting up her stocking where really nobody else knows where it's at. It's kind of at the back of the Christmas tree, but I know it's there, and it makes me feel good. So I'm a pretty private person when it comes to rituals. You know, if I do something, releasing balloons, I mean, all those things are so good to do and healing.
I think it privately. Yeah, I think you brought up a point. Not all of our rituals are public rituals. They're little things that we do.
Right.
So
someone
was telling us about wearing her daughter's shoes on her birthday. Very private things.
Yes.
So it's time to close our show today, and I want to thank Beverly and David Hurley, and I want to thank Shirley Ottman for being on the show from Bereaved Parents USA. Please stay tuned again next week when our guest will be Jack Jordan. Jack has worked with survivors of suicide and other losses for more than 25 years and is co-author of After Suicide, Loss, Coping with Grief. Remember, these shows are all archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Stay tuned again next Thursday at 9 Pacific Standard Time, 12 Eastern, for more of Healing the Grieving Heart. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Shirley, Beverly, and David, thank you for all you do for Bereaved Parents USA to help people heal after loss.
Thank you, Gloria and Heidi.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.